In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon on this Sunday after Christmas is a gospel lesson appointed for today. We read in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is God's word. In the name of our newborn King, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. They grow up so quickly, don't they? 1 second, they're a little baby lying in a bed, maybe a manger. And the next thing you know, they're 12 years old. Jesus' early life moves quite rapidly through the pages of Scripture. Jesus is born 8 days later. He's circumcised. 40 days after his birth, he is brought to be dedicated in the temple. The church celebrates those things, of course, with Christmas. January 1st, the circumcision and naming of Christ. And we remember Jesus' purification every time we take communion and sing with Simeon, "Now, Lord, you dismiss your servant in peace." Epiphany is the season when the wise magi came from the east to worship him. But then an angel came and warned Mary and Joseph to take Jesus to Egypt to escape Herod's murderous plans. After Herod died, they moved back to the Holy Land, not to Bethlehem, but to Nazareth, way up in a Galilee far, far away. And now we see the Lord Jesus, a 12-year-old young boy, getting ready, preparing to become a man, in his faith, studying at the feet of the great teachers in Jerusalem. Mary's son was there because Jesus was not a know-it-all. And we understand that in a couple of ways. He wasn't a know-it-all like a person who thinks you know it all and don't. But he also wasn't a know-it-all because he didn't know it all. Jesus had to learn God's word just like we do. And so we see Jesus there because, first of all, Jesus was concerned about learning God's word. And secondly, he was there because he found great value in studying God's word. The Son of God's humiliation does not mean that he left all his divine attributes behind in heaven. Jesus still possessed all his perfect knowledge, wisdom, glory, power, all of those things as true God when he became a man. His humiliation is that he chose not to make full use of those things, to generally hide those things under his human flesh. As we sang and heard earlier, Jesus became one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. Not that he was just a God who walked among us, but it means he became one of us. He took on true human flesh and blood, a true human nature, but is without sin. And so from the earliest in his life, Jesus went through all the things that a child would go through: birth, conception, birth, circumcision when he was 8 days old, his purification. Mary and Joseph had the custom, the habit of annually going to the festival of the Passover, and they would take Jesus with them for that celebration. Here is an example for us as parents of being like Jesus and being concerned about learning God's Word, not only for ourselves, but also for our children. We have another good example in Scripture of young Timothy, whose mother and grandmother taught him God's Word from infancy. As parents, we can instill a concern for God's Word into the hearts of our children by baptism, by teaching them prayers and songs when they're little, by bringing them to Sunday school, by taking them through confirmation instruction. Maybe if you're blessed with a Lutheran elementary school or a high school nearby, to continue that education in God's Word. Mary and Joseph were faithful parents in the religious education of Jesus, and Jesus as a human being had to learn that. And that's the great mystery. In Jesus' human nature, he had to learn everything, just like we and our children have to learn it. And so we see the 12-year-old Jesus there in the temple learning God's Word. In fact, that concern for God's Word came naturally to Jesus, because as true God, he had no sin. He had no sinful nature. His parents didn't have to constantly hold the mirror of the law up to his eyes and say, "Son, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." Because that's exactly what Jesus wanted to do. Jesus didn't have any of the sinful things that get in the way of being concerned about God's Word and learning God's Word. And so he had the example also of his parents, who held God's Word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus was not a know-it-all. He needed to learn. He was willing to learn. He loved to learn God's Word because he had that concern for learning it, because he understood how valuable it would be for him in his work. It would strengthen his faith when he faced later temptations. It would strengthen his faith when he would have to deal with the daily hardships that every true human being has to endure. It would strengthen his faith as he understood the important distinction between a childlike faith and a childish faith. A childish faith would do Jesus no good in his later years. but a childlike faith in his Father as a true human being that would mature and would grow, would enable him to carry out that work of being our Savior and Redeemer. So, we see Jesus doing two things for us as a 12-year-old boy in the temple. First of all, along with everything else Jesus did in obedience to the commandments, he did in his active obedience of the law to perfectly fulfill it, so that we wouldn't have to fulfill it to go to heaven, and we're not going to go to hell because we didn't fulfill it. Because he fulfilled it for us, and the Father accepted his perfect obedience as ours. And secondly, he sets a wonderful example for parents and for children alike to value and be concerned about learning God's Word, so that we don't have to try to face temptations and live our daily lives and prepare ourselves for heaven with a childish faith that will waver and perhaps fall as that house that the winds beat against that was not built upon the rock. But with a childlike faith, a faith that puts ourselves fully in our Father's hands, then we will mature. Then we will have the strength of God's Word that we will need. And that's really the second reason Jesus wasn't a know-it-all, because he saw the value in knowing God's Word for his work. Think of Jesus as being just like you and I. Jesus was no different from any of us, except he didn't have a sinful human nature. But in all other ways, he is exactly like us. He was a baby, a child, an adult. He got hungry, he got thirsty, he got tired. He faced the temptations of doubt and pride and materialism. He bled, he suffered rejection, and he died our death. And yet, through all of this, Jesus never sinned. We don't want to think, though, that that's because Jesus was true God, that this was all easy for him, that the temptations really weren't that difficult for him to face because he was also true God. That's not the case. He was tempted in all things just like we are. There's no difference in the temptations. The difference is that because of our sinful natures, we're not always able to overcome them. But because he was not only true man, but also true God, he was able to overcome them. He was able always and perfectly to never even consider going against his Father's will. And that's his perfect obedience as a true human being, just like we are human beings. Jesus overcame all of his sins as a true man through his perfect trust in his Father. But as a human being, that trust grew and matured by his studying God's Word, by his knowing God's Word as the Holy Spirit. And again, in a great mystery, how the Holy Spirit could strengthen Jesus' faith as a true human being through the Word. But he did, because Jesus is just like us. Jesus had to learn the scripture verses that he quoted to overcome Satan in the wilderness. Jesus had to learn about Jonah and Abraham and the other great heroes of faith that he often used in the applications of his preaching and of his teaching. He knew the value of God's word because for him as a believer in Christ, that scripture was the sword of the Spirit, the word of God by which he would defeat his every enemy. Jesus found great value in studying God's word for the maturing of his faith. As we grow and mature in our faith, what does that mean really? It means the more assured, the stronger our trust that the righteousness of Christ applies to us and saves us. For Jesus, that growth and maturing in his faith was to trust that all the misery and pain and rejection and everything that he was going through would apply to us. So that he knew that what he was doing was not a waste of time, that it was not for nothing. He trusted that what his Father sent him to do, his Father would accept as he had promised. Our Savior found great value in studying God's word also to teach his disciples. Jesus learned the words of his Father in the scripture, and he shared those words of his Father with his disciples, and with particularly with those who became his apostles. And they shared that word with us. A word and things that Jesus learned and we learn that we'll confess soon in the Apostles' Creed. Jesus, as a true man, had to learn to honor his parents, to not have any other gods, to not get angry, to not covet somebody else's property. He learned all those things and was able to do them because he's also true God. But he had to learn what God's will is so that he could obey it, so that he could put it into practice. So the difference between us and Jesus isn't that we have to learn God's will and apply it, and he didn't. The difference is we learn and apply it imperfectly, and he learned and applied it perfectly. And that righteousness is what saves us. And that righteousness is what gives us strength and the ability to overcome temptations in our lives. It is that strength and that righteousness that enables us to live through the hardships and the difficulties and the problems of life, particularly facing death or suffering greatly in life. That strength of our Savior that he lived and carried out as true God and true man is what gives us the strength so that we can do those things in our lives. Jesus found great value in learning God's word for his witness when he told people about how they were saved. And so you and I also study and value God's word, so that we too can witness and share that good news of our Savior with the world. Jesus was not a know-it-all. He didn't come into this world just as true God, knowing everything, sharing that with everybody, but he also became a true man who had to learn everything, who had to know, come to know everything, just as we do. He knew it was right and good to keep learning and to keep maturing. He never got to the point where he said, well, I've studied God's word. I'm confirmed. Now I know everything I need to know. He knew that learning was a constant thing. Jesus understood what it means to be a spiritual adult and sets the example and gives us the direction to value God's word so that we can, through our continued study of his word together and at home, grow to be spiritual adults so that we can deal with the spiritual adult problems and temptations that we have to face in this world. We learn at home. We learn through the church. We grow in our knowledge that underscores and is the foundation of our faith and our obedience and our witness. It is about seeing the great value in studying God's Word as opposed to being spiritually immature and thinking that I know it all. In other words, we are to be like Jesus and constantly be about our Father's business. Amen.